This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswine.
Hey, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. This is going to be pretty exciting because this guest today has been called the evolutionary mind coach for elite performers and visionary leaders. That is a heavyweight. Oh, my goodness. She's been featured on Oprah. She also uses her intuitive skills to assist in police investigations and corporate business strategies. Her book is called First Intelligence, Using the Science and Spirit of Intuition. Simone Wright. Hey, Simone.
Hi, Lisa. Such a treat to be with you this morning.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That's a heavy load to carry, huh? Evolutionary mind coach for elite performers and visionary leaders, but I love it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes, it's a heavy mantle to bear.
But someone's got to do it. Okay. I was talking a little bit with Simone before we started here, and I admitted to her that when I first was looking at this, anything that has the word science or math on it, I usually run screaming in the opposite direction. But finally, this book sat, and it sat there, and it sat there, and it was like it was calling me, Simone. And I pulled the book down. I started reading it, and I want to tell you, within the first 50 pages, I have so many pink highlights in here because I'm a highlighter person, mm-hmm. that you really brought the science-y person out in me. That's not even a word, but I'm telling you that it helped explain intuition a lot better. So I wanted to start with you and with our listeners on what are some of the common misconceptions that people have about their own intuition.
Well, the number one most common misconception is that a lot of people think it's paranormal or supernatural and that you've got to be super spiritually gifted or wonderfully anointed by the angels in order to have this skill set. And it's not. It's an intelligence that's inherent and natural in every single one of us. And really our mission is to remember it, not to go out and find it. And the second most common misconception is that it's an emotional thing. You know, you hear a lot of people, especially guys, no disrespect to any of the men out there, but they say that intuition can't be trusted because it's based in emotion. And that's also very, very false, because intuition comes from our higher mind that's not connected to emotion. Intuition comes to us in a neutral way. And so learning how to sort of bust these myths and misconceptions makes accessing our intuition more comfortable, more safe, more fun, and gives everybody permission to use it.
So so intuition comes with us just like our toes and fingers when we're born?
Absolutely. That's perfectly said. It's as natural to us as our digestion and our breathing. And I call it first intelligence because it is a wisdom that we have, that we're born with, that assists us in survival, both basically and to the higher evolutionary levels of survival, that we have before we even learn anything, before we know anything. The cells in our body are intuitive. And, you know, we have 100 trillion cells in our body, and so that's a very large intuitive community that is waiting to serve us if we just listen.
One of the first things I highlighted, page 15, the outdated belief that intuition is strictly a right brain intelligence and logic a left brain specialty has been replaced by the understanding that every cell in our body is capable of powerful levels of intuitive communication. So if every cell has this, Why are some people so afraid of it?
Well, because it's not based in that logic. There's no proof. You know, when we have intuitive guidance, when we get intuitive information, we're asked to be very courageous in following that, because there's nothing sitting in front of us that says, yes, this is wise. Yes, there's validation. Yes, there's a bunch of people who can see this and understand it. I say in the book that living an intuitive life isn't for sissies. You know, you've got to develop a real courage in order to follow that guidance without any validation or proof. And that's why it gets sort of a tough rap, because especially, and this is why I get it when you say you see science and you go, oh gosh, I'm going to run, because science requires so much proof. And intuition doesn't live in that world. So, you know, the people out there in the world who are scientific, they want to see the proof. And the people who are intuitive believe the proof is within them, and that's what they follow.
Oh, I love that. So what role does someone's belief or faith play in order to sort of expand or trust your own intuition?
Well, it's certainly important, but it's not crucial. I mean, what I tell people that I say is, if you just understand and believe that this is inherent in you and you believe you've got it, then it'll start to work for you. But it's working for all of us anyway, even if you don't believe it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The belief certainly supports it, but how many of us, I'm sure your listeners are all pretty evolved intuitively, but you know, there's a bunch of people out there who get traffic intuition. I live in Los Angeles, and boy, my traffic intuition is working all the time. You know, turn left, turn right, don't take the 405 today, you know. But it's operating for us whether we believe in it or not. But when we do believe in it, when we do sort of say, okay, I'm willing to let you serve me, that's when it comes online in a really powerful way, and that's when the fun starts.
Mm-hmm. Is the first access point intuition the heart?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the platform of intuition is built on a foundation of peace and what science calls coherence. And in order to get your body, your mind, your spirit into an open and expanded communication, you have to be able to access the heart in order to calm the mind, calm the brain. In order to be able to receive, it's quieting the chatter, and the heart is the most powerful energetic system in the body, not the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And once we can use our heart to quiet everything, then that's when the intuition lights up. But it is definitely, that doorway is the heart.
Okay, so if someone says, I'd really like to increase my intuition, as a matter of fact, I want to use it right now, where does it, if it starts in the heart, does everybody feel it differently, whether it's through the fingers or the top of the head, or you suddenly start sneezing, or what? How do we know when the intuition is kicking in?
Well, for everybody, it's different. You know, there are multiple levels of intuition, and there are multiple sort of dimensions of intuition. There's the gut instinct, which we've all heard. That's the basic level of intuition, and that's sourced in keeping us alive. That's survival, safety, and security, gut instinct. So people will get stuff in their gut. Pay attention to that. Listen to that. Then the second level as it moves up is the heart, what we were just talking about. And that's the ability to have connection, compassion, communication, community. That's what enables you to connect with other people, with animals, with nature, with the warm, fuzzy creatures in your life. So people will find they get an impulse or an impression in their heart. Follow that. And then it moves up into the brain, into visionary power. And that's where psychic ability comes in, but that's a small aspect. What the part of that level of intuition that thrills me so deeply is creativity and visionary power and innovation. And if you've got a problem that you want to solve and you want your intuition to guide you, you might get a really great new idea. That's intuition. Follow that. There aren't going to be angels and fairies floating in. It's going to be very practical. And then the fourth level is that universal wisdom, that part of us who knows that this little skin suit that we're in isn't who we are, that we're bigger and broader and more expansive than this, that even though the problems that we're struggling with seem big at the time, that we are in fact bigger and can solve them. So there are four levels that each of us have access to, so it's important to learn about them so that you can recognize how they speak to you.
Mm. Love that. Early on in the book, you do talk about a little bit more about that, about levels of communication being chemical, emotional, physical, and energetic. So pulling in from all of these different areas all of it is intuition, the chemical, the emotive, and the energetic. And you might only get one, or you might get all of them at the same time bombarding you, right?
Yeah. And the better you get at practicing, you know, the more refined that becomes, and the more it is speaking a language, Lisa. It is speaking a language, and you need to learn how your intuition speaks to you. Mine will speak to me differently than yours will, and no two people are ever the same, and no two people can say, well, mine is doing it this way, so yours must be wrong. It's uniquely built to serve each of us as individuals. And I say intuition can only serve one master, and you're the master. So mm-hmm. It's important to learn. Part of the intuitive process is precision, and part of learning how your intuition speaks to you so that it doesn't bombard you, so that you don't feel overwhelmed, so that it comes to you elegantly and in a refined way, is just practicing with the process. And being willing to screw it up every once in a while.
Yeah. Identifying your intuitive style. You talk a lot about that in chapter 9 as well. So how did you discover this whole process in yourself? And as you start telling that story, I am fascinated by the fact that you assist police in investigations. So I would love to sort of go a little bit into that as well, because that fascinates me. So how did you find out about it, and how did you get into the police work?
Well, I'm probably like you. I've had this sensitivity since I was young, and had very many what would be considered supernatural or paranormal experiences as a kid. So I've always had it, but it freaked me out when I was little. Because I could sense and see things that the grown-ups in my world couldn't. And when I would open my mouth to verbalize what I was seeing or knowing, I would get into trouble. So I learned to keep my mouth shut. And I turned it off in a big way, probably till I was in my late 20s. And then I had a very profound experience in a cemetery with my long-dead father. And I had gone to the cemetery to have it out with him because I was convinced that he was the reason my life was in such a mess. My dad showed up at the cemetery and said, I've been here the whole time. You just weren't listening. And in that moment, it was as though my head exploded and all of my psychic abilities and intuitive recollections came flooding back. But how that led to the police work was that once I allowed that doorway to open, or once my dad kicked it open, really, I said, okay, this is real. I'm not making it up. I'm not mentally insane. There's something going on here. And I know I'm not the only person, as is evidence with you and your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, this is common, so what's going on? And so I developed it and researched it and practiced it and did the science and figured out what's going on in biology, what's going on in energy. And it sort of took off for me, and I started teaching people around North America. And one of my friends who I've known since my teens is a cop and has been for 25 years. And he invited me to bring my spidey sense in on an investigation that ultimately I was able to help them track down three gang members who were involved in a triple homicide gang hit up in Canada. And he was impressed with my work and said, do you want to do this for us full time? And I said, no. I like puppies and bunnies, butterflies and beaches in Los Angeles. This is not, it feel like a good thing. And then Lisa, before I could even stop the words from coming out of my mouth, I'm convinced I didn't say it. I'm convinced my higher self did. The word said, but what if I could teach the cops how to do what I do? And that led to me going even deeper into the science and research, because you cannot go into a room full of police detectives and not be grounded in facts and research and the science behind it. And ultimately, that's what led to the book.
Oh, because my gosh.
The door blew open, and I kind of, I don't even know that I stepped through it as much as I was kind of shoved. And here I am with you now. And that's how it happened.
I can only imagine how fast your heart was beating the first time you stood in front of all of those detectives.
22 cops. And, some of them, they didn't have to be there. They, it wasn't a program that they were forced to do. They were there at their own free will. And many of them were very wide open, but there were a couple who were very resistant and skeptical. And one of them sat right in the front row with his arms crossed and was like, what's this little chippy going to show me? And and it was tough. It was a tough crowd. And so I had to know my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And which has made me a better teacher. It's made my intuition even more online and more precise. So it's been a benefit for me as well. But the greater benefit is being able to teach people how to, I love seeing the light bulbs go on and people are saying, oh my gosh, I've been doing this the whole time.
Yeah.
That's what that is. And to see them leave a room and go, okay, I've got this handled. That's a great joy for me, for sure.
Do you believe that some of us are chosen to use our intuitive gifts at a higher level than others? And when I mean higher, I don't mean better.
Right.
Just a more intense level, because some people use their intuition and they don't go off and do readings for people or help the police with investigations, but they have a really strong, high intuitive ability.
Oh, for sure. There are some really powerfully intuitive doctors out there who are, who are using their intuitive sense, and they might not call it that, but they're using it in their daily practice. And certainly there are lots of intuitive cops out there, but they're powerful intuitive business people. Richard Branson, for heaven's sakes, is out there talking about his intuition all the time, and Oprah Winfrey is out there doing it. So, you know, we're all being called in different ways to use our intuitive artistry. And you're correct. You know, not everybody's going to want to go out and find missing kids or do readings for people. That requires a certain type of person, just like it requires a certain type of person to be a cop. You know, so our intuition serves us in, how do I say this, in the ways that help us best live our own best lives based on what we choose, not based on, you know, what we think society is going to want for us. You know, if our intuition says, I really want to be a dancer, or if we have this desire to be a brain surgeon, that's part of that. And our intuition will serve us in helping us be the best at that, if that's what we choose.
Love that. You spoke briefly about this before, and that's about being willing to make mistakes or fall down, and that using intuition isn't for sissies. Can you expand on that a little bit? Because I think people think that the minute you start doing this, you're just going to know everything, and the floodgates of higher knowledge are going to stream into your brain.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you kind of got to be willing to screw up. Again, it's like learning a language. You know, if you're wanting to go to Italy and speak Italian, and even if you've studied for a long time, when you go to Italy, you're going to get your verbs mixed up with your pronouns every once in a while. You're going to screw it up. The only way you get good at it is by practicing. And look, you know, I teach this to people all over the world, and I'll get an intuitive guidance. I'll get a hit, and I'll ignore it because for whatever reason I'm in a rush, or I think, well, that doesn't make any sense, and I'll ignore it, and then I'll pay the price later, and I'll go, oh, phooey, Simone, you know, you heard that. Mm. You heard that, you silly goof. And you just have to go, okay, why in that moment did I choose to ignore it? Why, you know, what was rushing me? What was my blind spot? Where was I focused on something else that in my physical limitation I thought was more important than listening to that little voice? So, yeah, I still mess up. I screwed up last week, and I got stuck in a traffic jam. You know, so... It's a part of, and really learning through mistakes. When you learn through a mistake, that sort of sits with you more powerfully than it would if you learned through getting something right. Because if your intuition helps you avoid a traffic jam, you're not going to know. But boy, you'll know it when you've ignored it and you're stuck in traffic for 2 hours. You'll remember that.
Agreed. Yeah.
So screw up. All screw up. Go for it.
Love you. What is the difference then inherently between being intuitive and being psychic?
Well, as I said earlier, you know, psychic ability is a part of intuition. But it's a teeny part of it. But where people are highly psychic, they tend to focus on, and I'm speaking just from my own perspective. If there's psychics out there, they might have a different perspective of this, but you know, psychic people tend to focus on maybe what's going to happen in the future or what's available in the field of energy right now. And, you know, being able to communicate with past spirits and things like that, and being mediumship, I consider part of a psychic ability. But intuition serves sort of a broader field of knowledge. It allows us to direct our intention in a specific way if we know how to do it correctly. A lot of people are doing it sort of at random. But, you know, the psychic ability, certainly if you choose to develop your intuition, mm-hmm. your psychic ability will expand in that way as well. So they come, you can be, let me see if I say this correctly, you can be intuitive and not be psychic, but you can't be psychic without being intuitive.
Yeah. They're from the same family.
They're all
part of the same family. And I love hearing different people's understanding of the two, because I've struggled over the years because I don't want to call myself a psychic because of the bad connotations. So I say I'm an intuitive, or I'm, you know, I try and, you know, sugarcoat it, I guess, if you will. And so that really does clarify for me in a really nice way why I tend to gravitate towards the intuitive part.
Yeah. There is. You go into business or law enforcement, you know, you say psychic and they're like, meh, you know, words for crystals and who's this nut bar? But intuitive, again, you know, Richard Branson will say, Richard Branson is highly intuitive. He'll admit to that, but he would never say I'm psychic. It's more politically correct, I suppose, to use the word intuitive. And more people are are admitting to it and coming out of the closet. So it's a wonderful time to be able to engage in that intelligence, because there's more and more people wanting to know about it.
Yes, and utilize it in your everyday life, in your relationships, in your goals and dreams. That's why this is like an extra tool that you have to help bring to fruition all these wonderful things that you'd like to have in your world. Would that be a correct, you know?
Oh, for sure. Spot on. Right on. You know, and again, a lot of people have thought that intuition runs randomly, and from time to time it does. But where I like to put intuition into the game is to say, okay, you can use your intuition to guide you to what you want. You know, a lot of people think that their life is fated, that there's some karmic destiny, that they're just gonna, it's just gonna happen for them, and they have no choice. But that's so incorrect. If you can make a very powerful choice about where you want your life to go, and you allow your intuition to lead you there, it will.
Simone's book is called First Intelligence, Using the Science and Spirit of Intuition. Someone, like I said before, where I wasn't too much on the whole science thing, I love this book. And like I said, this has given me a better understanding and a great understanding of my own intuition. So if you're looking to increase your intuition, or maybe want to look at it from a different perspective, if you think it's all woo-woo, I'm telling you, if you read this book, this is going to change your mind. The best way to get a hold of you, Simone, is at SimoneWright.com, correct?
That is correct. SimoneWright.com.
Okay, you can check out for Simone there. It's time for the RL3, which is the real life three. Three silly, goofy questions that we love to ask our authors. And here's your first one.
Okay.
What awards show, if given the chance, would you attend and why?
Oh, the Academy Awards. Because Meryl Streep is just the coolest thing I've ever seen, and she's there almost every year.
She is. Hasn't she won yet? Or is she one of those Susie Lucci's? No, she's
no,
won.
No, she's won a few. Yeah, she's won a few. She's won a few times. But I just okay. Talk about intuitive. Holy moly!
Yeah,
right there. Yeah, the Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant, Meryl Streep. One of my favorite ones, and it has got to be. It's just gone on my head. Devil Wears Prada.
Yes.
Oh, love her character in that. All right, here is the second question. Finish this sentence. I am more confident when?
When I'm in front of a room full of people teaching them how to do what we're talking about right now. That's where I shine the most.
Wow. So that's where your energy and your confidence just goes through the roof, huh?
Oh, yep.
Good
when
deal.
When I'm out in the real world, like with friends and people, and not talking to lovelies like you on the radio, I'm very quiet and shy, and I play invisible. But boy, when I get in front of a room full of people, yep.
Well, you fooled me, Simone, because if you're an introvert, you are a very good actress, because I did not get that about you.
But again, that's a part of being intuitive and empathic. You know, sometimes when you're on like this, then you've got to go back and recharge. And that's certainly my pattern for sure.
Yeah. And the third one is one we ask everybody because it's just fun to know. We like to find out what everybody's fantasy name is. And that means we take the name of the first pet you ever had, and then behind it, we put the street you grew up on. So what is your fantasy name?
Oh.
So the first pet you ever had was?
Cuddles.
Cuddles. And the
Cuddles,
street you grew up on.
Well, this is tricky because I lived on 7th Street. So Cuddles 7.
Cuddles 7th Street is your name. Kind of sounds like maybe a mafia person or something. Hey,
yeah.
It's Cuddles 7th Street.
Yeah, well, it turns out my favorite number is 7, so that works in my favor. But I am. I'm a mole for the mob.
You are. So now you have that name, Cuddles 7th. Hi, how you doing? Simone, you have been an absolute joy to talk to. And
so much.
I really want. Are you going to be coming to the Detroit area anytime to do one of your teachings?
Well,
or?
You know what I do right now. What I'm working on, Lisa, is if folks want me to come to an area and they want to help set up a workshop, I will go. And if they help me set it up, I give them their workshop for free. Right now, I'm in promotion mode for the book and doing all sorts of stuff. I do have an online course coming in September. You can join me live online, and that's a 6-week training program. But hey, listen, if you want me to come to Detroit, just let me know. We'll set something up and I'll be there.
Woman, we are going to have to talk.
All right.
Thank you so much for being here. Simone Wright, First Intelligence, Using the Science and Spirit of Intuition. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Lisa. Bye.
Bye.